Good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN, my last In Focus with Manhattan Broadcasting Company. And glad to share it with Waumego Superintendent Tim Winter and Rock Creek Superintendent Kevin Logan. Do want to remind everybody that phone lines are open, 75-537-1350. A little bit later in the program, we'll have Karen Mays. She's actually in for Julie. Julie couldn't make it in, but Karen's going to be in for the North Central Flint Hills Area Agency on Aging. So stay tuned for that. One thing, gentlemen, I was just thinking about this morning and before In Focus started was during this morning's newscast, we had a lot of information, a lot of audio from yesterday's festivities, not really festivities, but reflection on 9/11 and some ceremonies about 9/11. And I was just thinking, as superintendents of public schools, we're really dealing with a lot of kids now that are in school who probably weren't born during 9/11 and don't remember that. So I guess I'm just wondering, when it comes to how we're educating kids about 9/11 now who don't remember, who weren't alive then, what's kind of that approach in your respective schools, or what was kind of the conversation yesterday in Waumego and Rock Creek?
You know, at the high school, they worked it into some announcements, and there was a remembrance in that way. At the elementary schools, I'll be honest, I don't know exactly how it was portrayed at the elementary schools or how it was remembered. I do know this week is our Yellow Ribbon Week or Suicide Awareness Week at Rock Creek, so that's where the bulk of the public focus is, you know, out and about with the entire student body. But there has been something in the morning announcements regarding remembrance of that. In fact, I got an email on that this morning waiting in the parking lot.
It is kind of weird, right, to think about the fact that a lot of the kids now, even some kids that are just entering college now, probably don't really have much of a remembrance of that day. Tim, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is different because you're right. Most of our students at this point were not born, other than our exiting juniors and seniors, and of course they were very young. So we did have one building that did a small ceremony. It's something that principal has taken on. At the other buildings, it's primarily been in those classroom settings, in our social studies settings. I know they touch on it and so forth, and just it's becoming part of our history, and so it's part of those curriculums. But our community is very, very supportive of that, and I know we did the flags at half staff along with all state offices, and just recognize people the best way we can.
And it is different, because I honestly think, and I remember in one of my history classes at K-State, one of my favorite history teachers, Dr. Sue Chucky, and she said something when we're looking at historical events, it's always really hard to digest sometimes, especially when it's something recent. It was 17 years ago, but still relatively not that long ago. And I think as a country, as a culture, society, I think we're still kind of digesting it and making sense of what happened that day. I remember one thing she said, it's like when we were talking about when television first came out in the 50s and everybody had a TV set, about how that just changed things immediately, because all of a sudden everybody, instead of being outside on their porch saying hi to their neighbors, you know, being outside with each other saying hi across the street, everybody was now inside their house and not outside their house anymore. And she even said, even today, she's not sure that we still understand exactly the change that television has brought on our culture, that we still don't really grasp exactly how much that switched things up. And I think for 9/11, I think that's also true in some ways. That is so recent, we're still kind of figuring out how exactly we respond to it and what we take from it. So with that, kind of tying this back to public education, I'm sure that is probably, when we're talking about 9/11, and when we look back on that day, like next year, we're almost to 20 years from 9/11, like how that's going to be approached in classrooms when we're dealing with children who don't remember that day. I guess, what do you think the approach should be when we're educating kids about 9/11 who don't remember it or weren't born?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it goes right along with what we do to honor veterans. You know, we remember those. We bring people in that discuss and the sacrifices they've made for our country and emphasize that, like the term that's used or the phrase that's used frequently, freedom is not free. And we have a lot of people that put their lives on the line for the privileges that we have in this great country. And I think you just keep putting that message out there and keep putting people in front of our students that can talk about that and share their experiences and their values and their beliefs. And we just do our best job every day.
And Kevin, what do you think the approach at Rock Creek is?
You know, that it's part of the history thing. You know, you look at oftentimes there was a significant event that started an even larger, longer-term event. You know, there was an assassination that started World War I. There was the bombing of Pearl Harbor that started our interaction in the Pacific part of World War II. You know, this is what started, you know, a major war now, shorter in Iraq, still going on in Afghanistan. You know, it's going to be a major impact in the history books. You know, the day-to-day impact you were talking about, you know, I don't fly a lot, but I do remember, you know, when you would go through the line, you'd hand them your ticket, you'd go in, and now, you know, you've got the screening lines, you're taking your shoes off, you're taking everything out of your pockets, you know, when you go to fly. You know, processes and procedures have changed daily life. You know, what we see on the news, there's always a Middle East portion to that. So, you know, there's been daily processes and procedures, but I think there's going to be the historical part of, you know, this was an event that really caused, you know, a longer term happening in an area. So, probably not worded very well, but
I think
you nailed it. That's the way it'll come out.
I think you nailed it. I don't mean to go so deep here on my last in focus, but just some things I've been thinking about, because this a mind-boggling thought sometimes when you think that I was a sophomore in high school when it happened. So, like, folks in my generation, we grew up around that.
You know, I was teaching at the time, and I had called into our business office at the district office to check on a requisition and an order. And Kay, the lady in the treasurer's office, said, "Hey, Kevin, have you heard that there's a plane that flew into the World Trade Center?" So I went to my computer, popped it on. About that time, live feed was a visual of the second plane going in. And at that point, you know, I'm sure I didn't teach very well the rest of the day. Cell phones weren't as widespread, you know, with every kid having one. And we didn't have one-to-one devices, you know. So as the kiddos were coming in and out of classes, you know, they'd hear a little bit here and there, and TV on the library. And, you know, it was a different type of day, you know, to go through that unsettling feeling of what was going on in your country.
And to watch it in real time, live, as a nation, never before has anything like that happened. I think that I referenced 9/11 for my generation, being kind of an older millennial. I was born in 85, but I think it's our equivalent of JFK assassination. That, because everybody, before 9/11, everybody talked about, where were you when you heard JFK was assassinated? I think for my generation, it's, where were you on 9/11?
Yeah, and I was just in the same situation as Kevin. I was teaching at the time in the Kansas City area, and it was just a real surreal experience. And I referencing the phone, cell phones, I don't even know if my wife and I each had a cell phone at that time yet. I think maybe we did, but I do know that she was traveling and trying to get gas so she could get from Excelsior Springs, Missouri, back to into Kansas City, and had to wait an hour and a half in gas lines because of, you know, the turmoil it caused with oil prices and things of that nature.
I remember that. Here with Wamego Superintendent Tim Winter, also Rock Creek Superintendent Kevin Logan. Just a couple more minutes left to touch on anything that we've missed.
Well, Brady, I'd just like to say thank you for working with us over the last year and a half here. It's been a joy, and best of luck in your new adventure.
Appreciate that.
I'd echo those thoughts too. It has been a lot of fun, Brady. Definitely enjoy the kickoff to the show every time. Never gets old. But best of luck and do your new challenge and new exciting experiences.
Well, and same for me to you guys. Appreciate working with me. You know, this is this show always has a lot of moving parts, and sometimes you got to switch schedules around. And you guys have always been so flexible with us. And when there's been weather delays, especially in the winter, you've always been good about letting us know about all that. So definitely my best of luck to both of you. We come back, we'll have Karen Mays. When I wake up in the
morning, I just thought one final time, and we don't know if this tradition, guys, will carry on.
I mean, I think
there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees.
More in focus, coming up.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain Performance Series at Kansas State University. Kids 18 and under get tickets for half price. Visit the McCain Performance Series website for the latest news on the best shows in the Flint Hills.
Guys,